Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own. Oh, okay, here we go. So it was the end part where I said share anything else below that you might feel is important, because you were in a long period of singleness. So if you want to kind of, I know it's probably a big one to start off on. Okay. But yeah, if you want to just kind of talk about that and yeah, just whatever comes out.
Sure. Okay. So, I mean, there's so many things that go into it, but basically, a little background on me. I grew up in church all my life. My dad has been a pastor before I was born.
Okay.
And he's been pastoring the same church, since I was 4 years old. He's been the lead pastor, and he was associate before that. So that definitely had an impact on my dating relationships, mm-hmm. like as I was growing up, because everybody was kind of like scared to get close to the pastor's daughter. especially in the teenage years. And I was very like almost like sheltered in a way. Like I didn't have any friends outside of youth group until I went to college. So it was like there wasn't very much there. And all of my friends, it's kind of like a toxic, like everybody kind of cycled through the same people to date in mm-hmm. youth group. So it was just like a very when I was 18, I had my first relationship and it did not end well. Mm. He went back to his previous girlfriend that he was talking to the entire time. I didn't know. It was a little bit of a mess. Mm-hmm. And then I spent a bunch of years in a situationship with a guy that like didn't want to fully date me, but like treated me like his girlfriend. Mm. And I wasted so much time on that and got really hurt by that. Mm-hmm. And then when I was 23, I moved from New York to Missouri to do missions work. And I knew that that was only going to be temporary. So I kind of kept myself guarded because I didn't know like what the future had for me, if I was staying, if I was going. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really open myself up to very many possibilities. I didn't actively pursue dating. I just thought, okay, if something like happens to show up, I would be open to it, but I was not pursuing it. I also struggled a lot with just my self-esteem and my self-worth. And had a very hard time believing that I was like worthy of a relationship because of a lot of the like what I had gone through in, you know, my late teens, early 20s, just never feeling like wanted. So that like really, really, really took a toll on me. Then I moved back to New York after 5 years and I went through a really hard period of transition and kind of just like depression and anxiety. And then COVID happened. And so like dating was like not even allowed. So there was like little things, little, you know, possibilities like here and there, but nothing like stuck. Mm. And then finally, I kind of got myself back together. I started therapy and counseling and started getting my body healthier and just in a different mindset. And I was like, all right, let's try this. Mm-hmm. And I got into a relationship pretty quickly with somebody that I thought was perfect mm-hmm. from church. And it got serious really quickly. And then he ghosted me out of nowhere. After a little disagreement and on Christmas Day.
I'm sorry. Okay. I will keep that inside. Continue.
and I just was like, thought that it was over this little situation that we had a disagreement over, and never heard from him. He disappeared. He cut off all contact with everybody in our church. People went to go try and find him at work. He stopped going to work. It was just like very weird, very weird. Couple of months later, I get a text message from him. Very strange. Talking about that the rapture had come. We were all left behind. He has like a safe house. All these weird things. So I'm like, okay, I dodged a bullet here. There's something right.
Yeah.
And so I just responded and said, hey, like, you know, I'm good. I forgive you. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
And then about maybe a month or two later, I got an email from him telling me that he was bipolar. Mm-hmm. But not only that, he was abusing all these other substances that made him paranoid and like put him into a psychosis. And so he's like, fine, like he was better because he like got off all those other things. And he was like kind of back to normal. But just apologizing for everything. And so, yeah, so that was a lot. Definitely carried some trust issues after that.
Yeah.
And then that's when I decided, let's try the dating app thing. So I've been consistently dating someone since the end of April. Mm-hmm. And that's been a little rocky. Not perfect. So I'm just taking it day by day at this point.
I feel like that's all we can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that is my history.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for sharing all of that. That is a lot to like have to process through and, yeah. You know, to try and get back on the dating horse. Ooh, yeah. Nope. I'm just like, I'm still processing it in my own brain right now going, dang, girl.
I know. Everybody that I tell, they're like, that is a crazy story. And yeah. I don't know why God, like after going through such a long season of like not of like trying to heal myself and get back to feeling like I was ready for a relationship. It was just like, okay, God, really? This is the experience that you give me? Like, really? But no, it was, you know, it really pushed me to rely on him and to know that I can trust him, because at the end of the day, I was praying the entire time about it, and he 100% protected me from that situation. Mm-hmm. So, and there's other things that I found out that he just some other like with previous girlfriends that he did some scary things. And mm-hmm. So I'm very, very grateful. And that's a big reason why I know that I can trust God in this whole thing with, you know, dating and relationships. He's definitely got my back. So, mm-hmm. I mean, and then the next guy that I was talking to after that, I knew that he had recently ended an engagement. And so I was taking it very like cautiously.
Yeah.
And then we had a date planned and he canceled, and he was like being wishy-washy about rescheduling. And mm-hmm. So then finally he was like, I'm just not ready to date. And so I was like, okay, that's totally fine. Thanks for being honest. Like, I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out that like he started dating someone like 2 weeks later, and they're engaged already. So it's just like these stories, like, God, I'm like, God, really, like, you really have my back, because mm-hmm. like there's, you know, I like these guys sometimes, it's just like, I don't know what's happening. So needless to say, even though this relationship has been going at a slower pace than I would I would like. It's giving me the time to really get to know him before I jump into anything. So just trusting God on that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Man, I feel like it's such a crazy world right now. And like, we really don't know. And it's so much better to just take things a little slower. But that's speaking to myself just as much as everybody else. Yeah. I'm all like, okay, cool. This guy's showing interest. Let's get married.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because I think that's like when we're older, mm-hmm. I'm 34, you know, everybody's like in a rush for you to get married, for multiple reasons. But so it's hard, especially when you're meeting people on apps, because they're strangers. Like, you don't mm-hmm. know anything about these people. Mm-hmm. And so it takes time to like build, like you don't have that. You don't have any, you know, previous experience with them. Mm-hmm. So it's hard. It's hard to like to balance the yes, we're intentional about wanting to get married and we want to get there probably sooner rather than later. But at the same time, like, you have to get to know somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, marriage is a big deal. You're not just marrying anybody who shows you attention. So it's hard. It's really hard.
It is. It is so difficult. But it's like, I've talked to some of the ladies like so far about this, and I'm just like, I would rather take my time and know that know this person than like get wrapped up in the idea of it all and then mm-hmm. down the road be like, well, crap. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And I think, okay, so one of your responses was managing expectations. Yep. Yes. I'm all like, I could just get a big amen for that one. Because it's so difficult to kind of walk that line, you know, of what is my mind trying to rush me? What is society trying? How is society trying to rush me? You know, what is all this outside influence and like how to get rid of it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really hard. I it's difficult, especially for me, because my siblings both are married and they had very easy relationship stories. Mm-hmm. Best friends, same. So they never experienced what I'm experiencing. So when I'm like, is this normal? Should I be feeling this way? Is he doing the right thing? They don't really have like a ton of, you know, I don't know, like, it's very hard. It's hard mm-hmm. for them to be like, yes, no. And if I should even take their advice, because at the end of the day, it's like, I have to be comfortable with the decisions that I'm making for myself. Mm-hmm. And so it's really hard to know what to expect, like what to expect. And if what I'm expecting is too much, too little, like, it. Mm-hmm. How do you gauge it? Like, it's just, it's like very confusing sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're preaching to the choir on that one. Two of my siblings are married. The other one is still on the younger side. So, you know, he has time and I'm going to be 34 in November. So I feel you. You know, and my other two siblings both have multiple kids and like they married their spouses in their early 20s. Yeah. You know, and I'm constantly like, man, the dating world sucks. And they're like, oh, really? And then I'll explain. And they're like, oh. And I'm all, yeah, you got lucky that God brought you a person so soon.
Yes.
You know, so I'm like, hold on to that because you don't want to be out here where I am. It's not fun. Yeah. And I mean, I feel bad for my youngest brother, too, because so he's 24. We have a 10-year age gap, but he's dealing with some of the similar things, but at 24. And it's yeah. like, dude, it don't get any better. Like, it doesn't. So just be prepared.
Yeah. I mean, even for the younger generation, I think it's even, I don't know. I don't know. It's just different. Like, I can't say it's harder, but it's definitely different. I feel like mm-hmm. because especially for males. I think females in their early 20s are definitely not ready. Most are not ready to settle down, and they just want mm-hmm. a boyfriend to like do fun things with. They don't right. really want a serious commitment.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's definitely just like, I think for me, the most just trying to figure out like what I'm comfortable with and what I need in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And just deciding if that person is meeting those expectations. Because I feel like we just like are constantly like, I'm constantly being like asking advice. And then I get confused because I'm like, people are like, well, he should be doing this and he should be doing that. And if he's not doing this, then, you know, you should just walk away, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, I have to be like, okay, what are my expectations and how do I need to, what are my needs that I need to be met? Mm-hmm. And if he's not reaching those, then I have to do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like have a conversation or figure out if he can even meet those needs. Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. It's because I find myself in that same boat too, of being like, oh, well, he's not doing this, you know, but like everybody has a different definition of what pursue is.
Right.
You know, and like, how can that, or how is this person pursuing me in the way of like what I need and not necessarily what everybody else thinks I need?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Like that's important too. Yeah. Advice and counsel is great. But also sometimes it's still your life and yeah. You know, gotta figure that out. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I could go on a rant about that for a while, but I won't. I love people, but sometimes it's like, yeah, okay. I'm going to just take what you just said with a grain of salt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's hard because I do have a lot of people that I care about him, that mm-hmm. I care about in my life. I have mm-hmm. my family. I'm very close with my family. I have my family. I have great friends. I have my counselor. Yeah. So it's like, you know, I have a lot of people in my life that like, I want to share what's happening, mm-hmm. but then sometimes it's just like, everybody's advice is conflicting. And it's just like, I don't know what the right thing is to do. So it just kind of makes it worse and confuses me even more. Like I'm already confused and then just too many voices. So mm-hmm. sometimes I'm just like, okay, I need to just take a minute and figure out what I need mm-hmm. without the voices of others sometimes.
Yup. I catch myself doing the same thing. Or like, I don't know about you or if you've ever experienced this, but for me, it's like every time I start talking about a guy that I'm like interested in, they suddenly disappear or something else happens where it's like, and this situation is now over. So I find myself just not sharing.
Yeah.
I'm just
yeah.
Like,
I feel like with this one, he's been a little bit inconsistent. Mm-hmm. So I'll like be like, oh yeah, this was great. And then he'll do something that like, you know, mm-hmm. is not great. And then I'm like, I don't want to say anything because I feel like I don't know, you're just like jinxing it or whatever. But so it's hard. And then like, I feel like every time I like tell them the negative stuff, then they're like, I don't like him. And then I'm like, so sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to say anything because I don't want any more people telling me that this is not good. But it's like I said, it's hard to like manage those expectations. And like when people are telling you one thing, but they don't know him and they don't see, like they haven't seen us together yet. So they don't know, like they don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when you vent, it's like all they hear is the negative stuff, and then mm-hmm. they just form an opinion.
Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. One of my exes was like that, and yeah, all my friends pretty much were like, "I don't like him already," and I'm all, "Ooh, oops." I mean, he is next now, so, you know. Yeah. But at that point in time, I kind of felt bad because I was like, oh, crap, maybe I need to be handling this a little bit differently. You know, on what I'm sharing. I mean, again, like venting is, there's no problem with that. But it's like, you know, I've come to understand that there's certain people in my life where it's okay, you can't share all the things because sometimes there's going to be stuff that like comes up for them and it's their issue, yeah. You know, and it's not necessarily my issue, you yeah. know, so figuring that out too, is it like a them problem or is it a problem I need to pay attention to or, yeah. you know.
That's true. That's true. I didn't yeah. even think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, a little bit of wisdom.
No, you're right.
Something to just kind of think about. Yeah, because we all bring our stuff, right? You know, and even if we're not realizing it, sometimes we could be portraying like our own issues onto this other situation that has nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
I know, I've been there. So
that's true.
Let's talk about integrity and communication. Because I like your answer for it. I don't know if you want, do you want me to read you what you said?
Yeah, I don't know if I remember.
Okay, so you said never really thought about the connection before, but I guess, yes, it does. If a person is a person of integrity, I believe it will show through how they communicate. It will be easier for them to be open, honest, and transparent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if you have any other thoughts on like that or communication in general.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I never really would have put, I thought it was interesting that that was a question because I never would have really put integrity and communication in the same like idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that in this whole dating process, communication has come up a lot for me because I'm a very communicative person. Mm-hmm. So I like to be in communication. I'm that person that like always responds to text messages, mm-hmm. Usually very quickly. And I just like to hear how people are feeling and what's going on in their life. And that's how I am.
Mm-hmm.
So translating that into dating has been a little bit of a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Because most men are not like that, at least the ones that I have encountered. and also for me, I'm just starting to explore a little bit about attachment styles, but I already know that I am anxiously attached. Mm-hmm. And so that communication or a lack of communication kind of triggers that anxious attachment in me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it starts to like get my mind to wander of like, why are they not answering? What's going on? And so I think that if you know that that person is a person of integrity and worth trusting, mm-hmm. it's easier to not let those like anxious thoughts get in the way. So I think if you're secure in the fact that like that person has integrity and is trustworthy, it makes it easier to kind of like, for me to like not have to be in constant communication and trust that like that person is
mm-hmm.
is doing what they say that they're doing.
Yes. I agree. I love attachment styles. So I'm excited that you're getting into like learning what that means and what that looks yeah. like. Yeah, that's awesome. But yeah, I agree. And it was funny. I was having a conversation with a friend about this situationship I was in. And that's where this question came from. Because I am a very communicative person as well. And so I tend to do all the check-ins and all that stuff. And this individual I was talking to was not very like forthcoming with information. And I was like, why is this bugging me? You know? And other than the fact that I wasn't getting information, but it was, I knew that there was something deeper there. So we were having this conversation about it and she pops in, well, it's also a sign of integrity. And I was like, oh, I'm like, you're right. Like I never thought about it in that like connection. I kept using the word integrity, but I wasn't making the connection between the lack of communication and integrity. And so, yeah, when she said that, I was just like, oh, ding, 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 ding. I'm adding this question to the girls' survey because I feel like it needs to be discussed. So, yeah, that's kind of where that question came from. Ooh, okay. So I like how you responded to the love language question. I think it helps understand each other better and knowing how to be intentional about what means the most to them. That's like so true. I don't know if you want to share an example, if you have one, about like what that looks like, or
we're trying to work through right now in our relationship. Because quality time is very important to me. It's one of my top love languages. And so we're having a hard time, or he's having a hard time, making time to spend together. And, I just had a very honest conversation with him the other day and just basically said, we need to talk because I'm not sure this is really working. And just kind of told him like I value quality time, and us seeing each other once every other week is just not enough for me. So if you can't, we do, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, but
yeah, we
technically live in different states. Technically.
Okay.
He lives in New Jersey. It's a little bit over an hour away.
Mm-hmm.
However, he comes to where I live, where he's like 25 minutes away from me, and stays with his sister for like sometime a week at a time. So it's not like we're really like long distance where every other week makes sense. Like right. It doesn't make sense. So I just was very honest with him in saying that like I need to spend more time with you. Like that is important to me. And not even like I wasn't like that's my top love language, but just saying that like I value quality time. And I need that. And if this is gonna work. So how can we make that work? What can we do to make that work? So we kind of threw some ideas out there and we're gonna see how that plays out. Because like I said, like before, if I'm not getting those needs met, like how, especially now in the beginning, because you know, like once you're in, you know, serious relationship, marriage, things get hard. And if it's where like I'm not seeing that now, like you're gonna make time for me later. Like I don't, you know what I mean? Like it's hard. So I do think part of it is that we are in the beginning stages. We haven't met each other's families yet. And so it's hard to balance a little bit, like we still have kind of like separate lives. So it's hard to like do certain things together and make that time. But I also was very honest in that saying, like, I believe if something is important to you, you make time for it. I think love languages are important. I think they really, it just helps you to be able to understand how you can like communicate better, meet the other person's needs better, and just obviously love them better once you're in that. Like, I'm not, you know, we're not in the love stage yet, but like, you know, just
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people have opinions about the Enneagram. I'm not crazy about it, but I do believe that it's a tool that's helped me a lot. And so I'm a two, I'm a helper. So I'm very much an acts of service, gift giver type person, like on the on the giving end of it. So mm-hmm. if that's your top, like if that's one of your top love languages, I got that covered. I'm good. I'm great at that. So yeah, so that's, you know, just like, yeah, I think it just helps relationships to mm-hmm. to grow and stuff. So, and yeah, like I said, and just being honest about it with, you know, if that person is not meeting those needs, how can they meet them better?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's great. Like, so I'm I'm a quality time person also, and a physical touch person. If you hug me and you spend time with me, I will feel so loved, you know, but, and then I speak words of affirmation though. Like that's what I give out to everybody else. And, it's so funny because people will be like, try to speak words of affirmation to me. And I'm like, you know, run away. Yeah. But then like members of my family are super high in acts of service and super high in gifts. So I'm all for them, like sharing that with them, but I don't need it. Mm-hmm. I don't need it. Like if you want to do that, okay, I will appreciate it, but it's not, you know, it's like, okay, cool. Thanks. I love you and appreciate you, you know, but it's just not, those aren't necessarily how I feel the most loved, but
yeah,
you know, but I'm like, if you want to come up and give me a gift and hug me at the same time, then we're golden.
Yeah. I think for me, it's not even that they got me a gift. It's more like the intention behind it. Like, mm-hmm. were they thoughtful about it? Like, did they like think like, oh, this, like, I knew that she would love this. Like mm-hmm. that for me is more important than like, oh yeah, you just gave me a gift to give me a gift. Like mm-hmm. if there's an intention or a thought behind it, then I'm like, I love that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't, it's not even like the gift itself that really matters to me. It's more like, mm-hmm. did you like remember that I said I really like this and, you know, thought of me? Like that is more yeah. what I care about.
Agreed. Agreed. It's so funny. My youngest brother's top is gifts. But because I know that, I make it a big deal when he gives me something. You know, I'm just like, yeah, because I love it. You know, but then it's so funny. Like once for me, in knowing people's love languages, it helps me appreciate whatever they are doing, even if it's not my top thing, mm-hmm. you know? And again, like, I feel like that's so important to know. I side note, I love the Enneagram, but I also know not a lot of people like it.
There's a lot of controversy about it.
Especially I know.
The group. So I'm like, I don't know who's cool with it, who's not cool with it, but whatever.
I mean, I get it. But also, if you look at it as a tool of how to understand yourself better and understand others better, what's the problem? Yeah. But I'm a 4-6. Like they're both basically tied, which is really funny because you can't have a winged, right? Unless it's right next to each other. Right. But I always tell everybody I'm a 4-6 and they're like, oh, and I'm like, I know. But people who understand or have at least like looked into the Enneagram at least a little bit are like, oh, you know, that actually makes sense. And I'm all, I know, it's weird. Yeah. But you know, it's just those are the top traits that I have and, you know, the characteristics, and I feel like it fits me pretty well. But I'm also not putting all my eggs in that basket. Like I just know that that's how I function within different situations, and yeah. You know, it's helpful. But yeah.
Yeah, I've like for the longest time I would tell my pastor that I'd be like, I just don't understand like why I'm this way. Like I don't like why, like what is going on, blah blah blah. And then like I read the Enneagram and I was like, wait, this is me. Like I feel like I understand now.
Yep.
This is like who I am. And so it just like really helped me to just kind of like understand like my core motivation and just how that shows up in my life and like understanding like one, I'm not the only one, and two, just like, you know, what I can do to like, because I understand that now.
Yeah.
What I can do to be healthier and Twos go to four in health, actually. So
yeah,
I mean, eight in stress, which is totally me also. So I like, it just made me understand a little bit more, more. Like, I don't know. The Myers-Briggs just confuses me. There's too many letters. Like, it's like too much. Like, I just think the Enneagram is more simple and like I can, it's just easier. But yeah, so I think any of those are tools, like even the love languages, same thing, it's a tool, to help help relationally, like learn about each other better and how to make relationships work better. Because I think Enneagram can do that too. Like, it just helps you to understand that person better.
Yeah.
And what makes them tick, kind of.
Mm-hmm. The Myers-Briggs is a good one, in my opinion. But that one helps me the most to understand myself a lot. I guess that was the gateway into finally understanding why I act certain ways or do certain things. And so
I get like different results every time I take it. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm not sure about that one. And then I read the descriptions and I'm like, I think I'm this. I don't know. There's so many. There's like so many.
There's a lot.
It's just confusing, I feel like.
Yeah, I've never gotten a different result, so I'm like in shock. Yeah, I've always gotten INFJ every single time. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to research all that again. But my background's in psychology and social work, so I had to literally study all of these things forever. But when you're not in that realm anymore, it kind of all goes to the back burner.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, I used to blast Air One when I was sleeping. My parents would be like, seriously? And I'd be like, hey, it is filling the room and the house with Jesus. That's all you need to like, it's protecting the household from all the spiritual stuff. Okay.
That's true. The radio on.
Yeah.
I feel like I used to, when I was a teenager, I used to leave the radio on, but now I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's different.
Yeah. You know, and I guess that's something to talk about, you know, something to communicate. Like, are you a person that has to have this on or what?
Because like, if you're complete opposites, like, if you cannot sleep with that stuff and they're like, I can't sleep without it. Like, what do you do? Sleep in separate rooms?
Right.
There was a couple on TikTok that I followed that they slept in separate rooms because they said that it just like it impacted their sleep so much that it just was much healthier for them to sleep in separate rooms. Yeah.
I mean, one of my friends, like, he has sleep apnea.
Yeah.
So they sleep separate because of that, because she couldn't sleep with like the machine noises, which I get totally. But I didn't, like, I wouldn't have thought about, you know, white noise issues. Interesting. I guess that's a good compromise. And even
there's so many things like white noise, like sleeping with blanket, without the blanket, sleep, like the position of how you sleep, you know, there's so many things that like you don't think about when like you just are always sleeping by yourself. Adapt to somebody else.
Valid. Yeah. I'm gonna be screwed because I take my section out of the middle of the bed.
I sleep with my dog every night, so she has her side of the bed and she's like she sleeps under the covers and everything, so I'm like, all right, I sleep with somebody every night. So I guess I can get used to it.
Right, anytime I have to share a bed I feel awkward. I'm like, I just, where do I go?
Yeah.
What do I do? Yeah, my dog sharing my bed would not be a good thing, so I can't do that.
She's not big, she's little, but she like sleeps under the covers with me every single night.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that would not be bueno with my dog. I mean, he slept in my room before, just never in my bed. Yeah, that would be very interesting scenario because he does not know personal space to begin with. So I don't know how that would go. Be like, excuse me, sir, your side's over there. Oh, man. Yep. That's just a good point, though, to think about and ask those questions, because that could be an issue that you don't want to have to face. You know? Yeah. Now I'm over here thinking about all the other things.
I know. And I mean, like, that's like, it's so funny that people are like, I don't know. I just, if people have so many, like, if, you know, if it's your person, you'll figure those things out. But then it's mm-hmm. like, yeah, but like, I know it's not like a deal breaker, but it's like, you got to think about all these other little things, mm-hmm. like how you're going to handle.
Yeah.
These like extra, it's hard. And I feel like the older we get, it's hard. It's even harder because you're like set in
mm-hmm.
your ways. And it's like, you have to open yourself up to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
All the time and how they are and like figuring out how to make that work.
Yeah. Yep. I see. Okay. So growing up, my dad's like big thing was jokingly, but also seriously, asking, you have to ask the question of, are they a toothpaste squeezer or a toothpaste roller? Or how do they put the toilet paper on the roll? You know, and all these like things that you don't think are an issue. But now that I've gotten older, like if somebody uses my toothpaste and they don't do it correctly, I'm like, oh boy. You know, or they put the toilet paper roll on incorrectly, I am the person that will switch it.
It's funny because like it's funny that like to certain people that would be like such a big deal. Like to me, I'd be like, no, those are like the least of my concerns, but like just the little things that really bother people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I didn't think it would be that big of a deal. Like the toothpaste one, I kind of tend to fix it, you know, and then go about my day. And then I do the same thing with the toilet paper roll, I guess, technically, because I will just flip it, you know, but it's just something that I've kind of jokingly asked guys in the past. I'd be like, so how do you feel about the toilet paper roll? Are you an over person or are you an under person? You know, because then I'll be able to be like, well, if they're an under person, I'll be like, okay, well, just know that every time you come into the bathroom, it will be switched to over. You know, and it'll just, that's how it's going to be.
Yeah. Like last night, it was so funny. He was over and he went to the bathroom and he left the lights on and I had to like go and turn the lights off. And that's just something that's like been ingrained in my head from my mom, because she'd always be like, you don't leave the lights on, you're wasting electricity.
Yeah.
And so like, I just like, that's like always in my head. I'm like, I can't leave the lights on just because. And so I had to like go back in the bathroom and turn the lights on after him. And I'm just like, don't leave the lights on. Why are you leaving the lights on?
Yep, that's another one. I know people who get really frustrated when somebody folds the towels incorrectly, and you know, because there's like the different trifolds, right? Like of how you fold towels, and I'm all, as long as they're in there. Me, I will fold them differently if depending on what the cabinet space is, you know. But generally, I don't really care. It's just, unless they have to fit in a specific area of the cabinet. But anyway, it's just funny, those little things that you don't think would possibly be a problem or could be a problem and gotta discuss.
Dating is it's hard, but I think it's worth it in the end.
Right? At least we hope so.
No, I mean, I'm just glad that you're taking the time to do this. I think, when I heard about the what Ben thing, you know, I thought it was just a great idea, just because so many times, like, us women are like, just so like, what are men thinking?
Yeah.
Like, what are they thinking? And we think that it's like, we only feel that, but I'm sure that the men are thinking the same thing. Like, what are women thinking? Like, what is going through their heads? And we're usually more vocal about it. So,
yep.
But yeah, I just, yeah, I hope that it, I hope it's beneficial. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it will be.
Yeah. I mean, to me so far, it's been beneficial. So I'm just hoping it is to everybody else who listens, yeah. You know, and so I'll tell you the little like side story. I've actually been internet friends with Bob for about a year. And so I'd already been listening to his podcast and all that. Well, their podcast, cause it's him and Kelly. So when the first episode popped in, I was like, oh, this is going to be good. So I sent him a message and I was like, dude, like, I'm so excited. I can't wait for this. And then, you know, I waited a couple of days for a few more to come out. And then I started listening to them back to back. And then I sent him this epically long message and I was like, okay, like, first of all, thank you, sir. Second of all, here's some feedback. Third of all, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, and I had already at that point kind of started thinking and slightly joking with some of my girlfriends, like, maybe I should do the women's side of this on my own podcast. And then they're like, oh yeah, that would be cool. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not gonna do it. Like, I just was kind of like, eh. You know, I'm gonna joke about it but not really be serious. And then
a lot of work.
It was a lot of work. He warned me, but it's okay. So then, like, when his stuff was getting shared, because I actually introduced it to a couple of the guys in the group, which is how it got into 824. And so,
which is cool. Like,
it was awesome. It's a total God thing. But then as soon as it started getting talked about in there, like, a lot of the women were like, oh, this would be cool to have on the girl's side, blah, blah. And I had tagged Bob in one of the comments and kind of was joking again about, like, you know, doing the women's side or whatever. Okay. So she pops in and she's like, you should do it. And I'm like, no. And then she's like, do it. And then I'm like, okay. And so, it just started out as like a total, I'm going to joke about this, but now maybe we're going to do it. And then I put it out there and all of y'all responded. And I was like, all right, we're doing this.
Yeah. Well, I feel like in the group, there's just so many women that are like ready to talk. Like, so you're not going to be, you know, have a hard time finding people to talk.
You know, but it's just like, oh my gosh, very overwhelming, but also really amazing. Every time I get off, I'm like, okay, I'm so exhausted. But as soon as I sit down, no matter how tired I was before, as soon as I sit down in this chair to start another one, it's like, and we're on, you know? And so I'm just like, thank you, God, for the strength to keep doing this. But yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait to start getting them out.
I want to listen to more of the men. And then obviously when the women come out, I just kind of see like the difference in responses and just kind of see like what's more of like the trending like responses from the woman versus the men.
Yeah. And it's funny because like I know which guys in 824 have done his. And I asked a couple of them, I'm like, okay, what questions did he ask you? Because I kind of want to have some of the same questions, but I also want some different questions. And so I got a little bit of feedback on that specifically. But I also know that there's going to be such a vast difference because I'm coming at it from a woman's point of view. Like, you know, okay, we're going to ask these questions because the majority of us women probably think at least similarly. And, you know, guys need to know this. Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink. If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at @anapiffwithtiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.